this time, it is my great privilege to introduce to you our guest preacher, who just happens to be my son, Sam Fowler. Sam is 22 years old, and he grew up at this church. When we first came to this church back in 1994, Sam was all of 6 months old. So, you know, he spent his first time out in the nursery. So from the nursery to the pulpit, I don't know, what do you think of that? That's a pretty good progression. He's married to Rachel. Rachel is here with us this morning. Rachel's giving a little wave there in the front pew. And they were just married this past August. Sam is a ministry and biblical studies major at Palm Beach Atlantic University. He currently serves as youth pastor and worship pastor at Vintage Church in Palm Beach. And he graduates in 2 weeks from Palm Beach Atlantic. So we're excited about that. Yeah, we can give praise for that. And as he graduates, he is seeking God's direction as to where God would call him. And he's looking for ministry placement within a church. So if you would be, please be praying for Sam as he seeks God's direction in that. But Sam, what a great joy and honor it is to welcome you to the pulpit this morning. And you don't just get the customary handshake. Love you, son. But you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a great honor to be here with you today. As my dad just said, I grew up for a number of years in this church back when we were meeting in the old sanctuary, the prayer chapel now. And so it's so cool to be here on the other side of the pulpit today, get a message. And I'm so thankful for y'all for just allowing me to come here with you. So thank you so much. I'm going to begin with a word of prayer, and then I'll start. So let's pray again. Lord, we thank you for your word, the life and the truth hidden within Scripture. Lord, we pray that as we talk about them, consider them, Lord, today, that they would convict us, Lord, that they would teach us and renew us, refresh us, Lord, in all the ways that we need this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I want to talk with you all today about the idea of cost. Okay. Very familiar concept in our culture, right? We always are making decisions about whether we're going to buy something based on how much it costs, right? Or if we're going to go do something, we take a trip, right? You know, how much is it going to cost me? You know, time, money, we weigh everything out. Is something worth our time? Is something valuable enough for us to embrace the cost of doing or buying that certain thing? Maybe you're, you need a new car, so you go to a car dealership, right? You find the perfect car, you really want to get it, you know, it's a convertible, the top comes down, right? So you can ride the top down, your window in there, it's got the new GPS on the dashboard, you know, you can navigate wherever you want to go with that. Maybe it's got you can set the level on the left side of the car with the AC, there's something different on the right side of the car. So when you are driving and the person next to you, isn't always changing it down and you're turning it back up, I don't know if that's just me, that happens to you, it happens to me sometimes, we'll turn it back and down the whole time. So it's a great car, you want to get it? What's the question you get asked first? You're going to say, how much does it cost? Got it. Maybe technology, right? This is the age of technology. Maybe you have a friend that's coming with a new phone, a new iPhone. I don't know what number on the iPhone, the time of 10, whatever it is. Right? And they're talking to their phone, and it's talking back, and you're looking at it, that's pretty cool. They're on Siri. Navigate to my brother's house. You know, and text in, and they'll leave you there. And you're going, that's pretty cool, man. I don't have a phone like that. I actually don't. Right? Anything I have, I have a phone like that. You know, how much did that cost? That's the question. You need to see if it's worth your time, worth your money, worth investing in. You need to know how much it costs. Christianity, Christians, disciples of the Lord, we claim to be a part of a kingdom that is imperishable, never pass away, to no longer be defined by the worst moments of our life, our sin, to have received the grace of God, to be at peace with God. Sounds great. Unbelievable. How much does it cost? That's the question we're going to look at today. How much does it cost? And some of you may be thinking, right, so, wait a second. Isn't salvation a free gift? Is it grace, by God's loving grace, that we receive this gift of salvation? It shouldn't cost anything. You're right. Salvation is a free gift. Absolutely. But what I want to remind us of this morning is that salvation is not just being saved from something, which is true. have been saved from our sins. That's the free gift. We have been saved from something. But it doesn't just go that far. God has done more for us than that. He has not just saved us from something. He has saved us for something. He has saved us for a new life. A new life lived for Jesus Christ, lived in His grace, empowered by His Spirit, and freedom. And that life, the Scriptures call discipleship, the life of a disciple. And it does cost something. There's a reward, it's worth it, but it does cost something. If you do it like this, maybe someone gives you a gift, a year-long gym membership, right? That's a free gift, and that's great. But in order for that to bear its fullest fruit in your life, what do you got? You gotta go to the gym and work out, right? you know, just sit there and look at that, you know, that's not gonna be good. You gotta go and work out, right? So we have received the free gift of salvation. God has done more than that. He saved us from our sin, but formed this new life of discipleship. And that's what we want to talk about today. What does that life cost? All right, and so we're gonna turn to Luke chapter 14. If you have your Bibles, you want to follow along. Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 25. This is a passage of scripture that I've been dwelling on for the past 5 or 6 months. You guys know I've always talked about this, so I'm really excited to share with you from this passage this morning. So verse 25, this is right there. It says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and journeying to them, he said, let's just pause there for a second. All right, we got large crowds flocking around Jesus, right? And there were times in this ministry where people would just follow Jesus wherever he went. They would lean in everywhere he spoke, just wondering what was the next thing he was going to say. So now we've got these big crowds, people are surrounding him. And you would think at this moment, Jesus would say, all right, I'm going to rally the troops. I'm going to give some really persuasive, appealing message to these people so that they're going to want to follow me, and I'm going to have all these followers, and I'm going to be able to do everything that the Lord wants me to accomplish in this ministry on earth. That's what you would think he would do, right? He would want to bring people in. And he does want to do that. He wants followers, but what he doesn't do is water down the truth of what it means to be a disciple. He doesn't give an easy statement. He doesn't give an easy teaching. This is the opposite. He gives a hard, difficult teaching. He talks about how much it costs to follow him. And he gives it in terms of three areas of our lives. Three areas of our lives that we need to surrender and put Christ as a priority and first in those areas, if we are to be faithful disciples. So let's look at that first area. Verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. How many people do you think just walked away right after he said that? I'm out. I don't know what you're talking about, but I can't hear that. That's too much. All right, we're going to talk about what it means for a second, but just sit and absorb the shock of that statement for a second. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to make us take a step back. Man, Jesus, what are you talking about? It's something serious. All right? Jesus is trying to communicate to us that he needs to be first over our families. And really, we're going to extend this to the heart of the message. It's the relationships that matter the most to us. The people that matter the most to us. Jesus is saying, you need to love me more than you love them. Don't hate them, right? This is a rhetorical tool. Don't hate them. The Lord wants you to love everybody. But when push comes to shove, we need to love the Lord Jesus Christ more than even the people, our closest friends, our closest family, even those people, the Lord must come first. And he's using this idea of discipleship. Back then, and even now, the idea of discipleship is that there's a teacher, right, or a mentor, and then you've got students. The students listen under the teacher. They hear the teachings, and they walk in those things that they're being taught by their mentor. And they follow him, right? They follow that person. And so we're talking about if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to follow in the teachings of God, if you want to be a disciple, this is the first step, the first cost, the first place that you need to make sure we are willing to sacrifice it, and that is putting Christ over the people that matter the most. Loving both, but loving God more. Right? Think about if you've got friends and family or close, maybe co-workers. Maybe they're involved in some kind of immorality. Especially if they're Christian friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord. Maybe they're involved in some kind of dishonoring relationship. habitual sin. The easy thing to do, and if we're only concerned about our relationship with that person, the easy thing to do is not say anything. Maybe even to be affirming that relationship, right? Because we don't want people not to like us. That's the easy way out. But what Christ is saying is you need to be more concerned about that person's relationship with God than their relationship with you. Let me say that again. We need to be more concerned about people's relationship with God than about their relationship with us. And be willing to risk our relationship with them for the sake of their relationship with God. And there are moments, and there are times, when that actually has to happen. We need to step up, not turn a blind eye, and lovingly and gently talk to people who are close to us about these difficult kinds of things. Maybe where you work, maybe in the office, like someone commits a crime, steals or something. Again, if you're primarily concerned about your relationship with that person, the easy thing to do is just to kind of turn the other way and not say anything. You know, you don't want people to think you're a tattletale or you don't like them or something like that, right? But is that being concerned about their relationship with God? And the answer is no. Alright? People who matter the most to us, even as an act of loving them, we should be concerned for how they are related to their God and their Creator. And this is the first area of sacrifice that Christ talks about. He says, hey, if you want to be my disciple, you want to follow me, follow in the teachings of God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the first thing is I need to be valued more than your closest relationships. Verse 27, he gives us the second thing. The second area of cost, the second place that we need to be willing to sacrifice if we're going to be true disciples. Verse 27. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Alright. So when we hear the word cross, we know the whole story that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead. And there's a certain meaning, it's not the worst image in the world. There could be certain negative connotations with it, but many times that's the emblem of the faith, like the cross. That's where we receive reconciliation with the Father, freedom from our sins. We were saved from it. From our own sins, from death at the cross. But think about people back then. They didn't know how the story was going to unfold. They didn't know how things were going to turn out in the end. When they heard the cross, that was a method of brutal execution to them. And you have to wonder, when Jesus said, hey, you got to take up your cross and follow me, people are going to be thinking, well, where are you going to lead us? Where are you leading them? I mean, to pick up a cross and follow you, Jesus. Right? This is the second area of sacrifice, the cost that Jesus brings up. We need to be willing to sacrifice not just our family, our close relationships, and those relationships out in front of us, but our own self. We need to be willing to put ourselves on the line, even to the point of picking up a cross, which represents even to the point of death, the ultimate sacrifice for the sake of Jesus Christ. But there are smaller ways that this plays out too. Think about times when it's just you, no one else is around, no other people around, and it's just you and God. Who are you following in those moments? You're always following somebody. I don't know, everybody, Bob Dylan, you guys hear Bob Dylan, right? He has a song, you gotta serve somebody. I'm gonna simply say, you gotta follow somebody. You're always following somebody. You know, either you're following yourself, what you want to do, or you're following the Lord and letting Him lead you where He wants to lead you. Right? And maybe you're tempted to gossip at times. The question is, are you going to follow yourself and enjoy that moment and gossip because that's what you want to do, or are you going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Say, no, I'm going to speak words of affirmation and build up and not tear down. When people make you angry, you lose patience, people wrong you, do we respond in anger and lashing out to them and follow what the world tells us to do in those situations? They tell us that's the right way to respond. Or do we follow Jesus and say, no, I'm a disciple of the Lord. I'm going to follow you and I'm going to bless them and pray for them. Because that's what Christ did for me when I was His enemy. We need to be willing to sacrifice what we want for the sake of what God wants. That's the second area that Christ speaks about. Christ must be valued over our close relationships, over our family. Christ must be valued over ourselves, our own personal lives, all the little details of our lives. And then there's a third thing that Jesus is going to bring. He takes a break. He takes a pause real quick. He says, listen, you know, I'm telling you all these things of what it means to be a disciple at cost.
gives two illustrations of why when we hear about the cost of discipleship, we should make a decision about what we're going to do with that information. And we shouldn't just make a casual response to that information. All right? So he's encouraging us with these two illustrations that we need to hear about the cost of discipleship. We need to do something with it. All right, so let's look at the first illustration. Verse 28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you. This person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Alright. So if you're gonna build something, you gotta make sure you got all the supplies, you got the manpower, you gotta schedule things out, make sure you've got what it takes to finish the job. Right, this building that we're in, this sanctuary, was built within the last 10 years, not too long ago. Can you imagine if we had laid the foundation for this new sanctuary and started building up, maybe got about halfway up, and then we just stopped? Everyone going up down on Brown Boulevard would be looking and scratching their heads thinking, well, what happened? Did they not know? Did they not strategize? Why is there half a building sitting right on the side of the road, right? And Jesus is saying, if you don't count and consider what it costs to be a disciple, and you're going to go for it, maybe it's a casual decision to follow the Lord, and you're going to fall short, and you're going to realize you weren't expecting all the difficulties to come, people are going to scratch their heads at you like you're a half-finished building. People are going to wonder, well, what happened? Didn't you know? Didn't you know that it was going to cost something? Here's a second illustration to encourage us to understand this cost of discipleship. Verse 31. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation, while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. He's saying, don't fight a battle you can't win, right? If you're an army, you're going up against a bigger army, you should have taken the time to think, well, I don't think I can win this. And you should have just paused and ask for terms of peace instead. Right? And this doesn't just happen in the war. It happens in all sorts of areas in our life. We shouldn't fight battles that we can't win. This happened to me actually yesterday with myself and my wife. She had a cup of coffee when we were in the car, and she gave it to me while she wanted to do something. She said, all right, why don't you hold on to this for me? And I said, yeah, I don't really want to hold it. I'm going to put it down right here in the dashboard. And she said, hey, you put it down there, I'll tell you, it's going to fall. And I was like, maybe, all right. So she walks away. I put it on the dashboard, right? She's going out there, she's going down there. Put it on the dashboard. 2 minutes later, it falls. There you go. It doesn't spill away. It falls. Not only that, but it spilled a little bit on her nice purse. Still on her purse. All right, so I don't know. She's forgetting me, aren't I? So she goes back and she goes, oh, you spilled the coffee. And she put it where I took it up and put it. And I said, yeah. And right? I'm thinking, I can try to defend myself. I can try to reason why that is. I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to win this battle. It's over for me. So I just took the way out and I said, listen, I'm going to buy you a new horse. She said, okay. Right? You don't fight battles. You can't win. Right? You consider if you can win the battle. You consider if you can win the argument, whatever it is, before you engage. That's what Jesus Christ is inviting us to do. He says, here's the cost. Don't let it go through one ear and out the other. Think about it. Don't be surprised. Don't be an unfinished building. Don't engage in a battle you can't win. Think about it. And what he wants us to do after thinking about it is to fully commit. Not to turn away, to think about it, and to fully commit to following him. And there's a reward and there's treasure in following him. We're going to get to that in a moment. It's not just cost. There's a beautiful life ahead of a faithful disciple. We're going to talk about that. But first, I want to bring the third and final area that Jesus brings up as far as cost. Right? We have Jesus needs to be first over family, over self. Now we get the third and final area of our life that Christ needs to be the priority in. Verse 33. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. And I was talking about possessions. Right? The stuff that we own, the stuff that gives us comfort, money, or anything that we have. He says, those things, yeah, I need to be Lord over those as well. Right? That doesn't mean, sometimes when we say Lord over our stuff, people think, Well, I guess that means I gotta give away everything I own now, right? Is that what you're saying? And no, not necessarily. There are signs in Christ. He told people to do that. There was a rich man who came to him and said, how can I hear the kingdom of God is looking away everything I own? And he walked away sad. But there are times when Christ calls us to make big sacrifices like that, and we need to be willing to do those when and if he does. But there are also ways that he is calling right now every single one of us to be good stewards of the possessions, the things that he has given us. In the Gospels, he says, to whom much is given, much is required. And Jesus speaks of the poor, those without clothes, those without or water to drink, those without food to eat. And he says, when you do something for them, when you provide for their need, hey, you're doing it for me. That's how much I care about them. That when you clothe, feed, give water, give need to them, you are doing it for me. And so all of us who have stuff, right? Christ said, I am over that. I need to be first in that. And when I provide opportunities for you to serve and give generously. Give ministry and reflect to the world that I am first, even over all the things that I do. Christ wants to be first over our possessions as well. Jesus ends this teaching on discipleship with a familiar statement, perhaps for many of us, that makes a very interesting point. Verse 34, let's read this. He says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. All right, so you might be wondering, right, what does salt have to do with discipleship? Right? It doesn't seem to be related. The idea here is that if salt isn't salty, then the very essence of what salt is supposed to do, the very core of its purpose, cannot be accomplished. In modern terms, you might say, well, you might have a car. Maybe it's got a radio on, maybe it's got all the bells and whistles, and, you know, the different AC controls. You might have all that, but if it doesn't drive, what's the point? What's the point? It can't do the very thing, the main function it's supposed to be able to do. And so Christ has just given us the wide spectrum of what it costs to be a disciple. And if you haven't noticed, we named three things, but the point that Christ is getting at is that to be a disciple, we need to put Christ over everything in our life. And he's saying, if you're not aiming to do that, well, what's the point? Because that is what a disciple is. That is the purpose, the essence, the entire mission of a disciple is to value Christ, reflect Christ over every area in your lives. Every area in your lives. So we started today, we asked the question, you know what? What is the cost of discipleship? And Christ says, his answer to that question is putting Christ and God above everything. Putting him first in everything. Let me remind us this morning, you might be thinking, man, well, that's a difficult calling to accept. But let me remind us, discipleship isn't the only thing that costs. Every path of life costs something. And if you reject Christ, and if you are not a disciple of Christ, and you don't know him, there's a much more severe cost for pursuing that and following that instead. And it involves being separated from the Lord forever. Being weighed down by our sins on this earth, not having peace with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Creator. The yoke of the Lord is light compared to that. And Christ wants us to be reminded this morning through this scripture of the high calling and the high honor and the high treasure and reward of following him. Because he leads us not to death, not to destruction, not into more burden and guilt from our sin, but he leads us into life and freedom and hope and rest. Things that everybody wants to find, but can only be found in Jesus. So if you do not know the Lord, my encouragement to you today is think carefully about the high cost and calling of discipleship and then fully commit your life to following him and allow him to lead you into his kingdom, into peace, into the life of freedom. And for those of us who would say we are disciples, we've already made that commitment, let me encourage us to remember who you are. Remember what it means to be a follower of Christ. It doesn't mean just coming to church, smiling, being nice, those are all good. But that's not what it means to be a disciple. Being a disciple of Christ means putting Christ above every area, big and small, in your life. So let me encourage you, remember who you are. The cost of discipleship is everything that you are, putting Christ over that. But Christ is a treasure, and when we follow him, we will find life and freedom. And it is worth the cost. So commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Commit every area of your life to him. If there are areas that, you know, as I've been talking, that you realize, you know, maybe, you know, I've been committed over here, but here I need some help, and repent, get back on track. Let the trajectory be pointed to the Lord. Now let's pray right now that he would help us to be fully committed to him as disciples who follow him to his kingdom and his glory. Amen, church? Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the scripture that reminds us of the high calling that you have given to us to follow you wherever you should lead and whatever you should call us to do. Lord, I pray for myself, I pray for every person here, that we would remember who we are, and that we would be fully willing to sacrifice all areas of our life for you, because you certainly have sacrificed all that you have for us. Lord, we love you, we thank you for calling us into your kingdom. Be glorified throughout this week as we go, and live as disciples. In Jesus' name we pray.